It is 10:59 a.m. on April 4th, 2023. And I'm interviewing Dr. David Skeel for Rock Voices. Hello.
Hi.
So first of all, can I get some biographical information?
Sure.
Like full name, where you're from, your education, things like that.
Yeah, my full name is David Bradley Skeel, and I grew up in Vermont. Mm-hmm. Lived a few places as a kid, but Vermont I sort of consider my childhood home. Lived here though in Western Pennsylvania since 1988, so I've been a Western Pennsylvania resident longer than I've lived any place else. In terms of my education, yeah, I got my Bachelor of Arts at Marlborough College in Vermont, a small college that doesn't even exist anymore. And then from there I went and got a Master's and MA at Smith College. And you may be saying, isn't that a woman's college? And it is, but they had a few graduate level co-ed programs. Theater was one of them. And so I got a master's there. I got my Master's of Fine Arts in directing at University of New Orleans. And, well, by the way, my BA at Marlborough was in theater with a specialization mostly in acting. I got my MA was kind of a general theater MA. Then I got my MFA in directing. And then I went to University of Pittsburgh and got a PhD in theater history and performance studies. And so that was the education.
All right. And what is your affiliation with Slippery Rock, like in terms of employment or if you went here?
Yeah, I never went here. I am a full professor now and on the cusp of retirement, as you know. I've been here for 30 years as a professor and worked my way, started as an assistant professor and then associate and then full, and you know, worked my way up through the ranks over the years. But yeah, this is my 30th year here.
Didn't you start in like the English or education department?
No, I started in the theater. There was a time the theater originally was part of theater speech and communication. It was part of the communications department, but I came after they'd already split. I came about 10 years after they'd already split. So
okay. Yeah, I look through old rockets sometimes and it had you down as like education or English or something.
Oh,
like
really?
It was only once though. No, you came here in 1988, so that was...
We moved to the area in 88. I've been here as that's when I got my doctorate at Pitt. But I started teaching here in 93. Fall of 93 would have been my first semester.
All right, so that was after it transitioned to university. So was all of like that change before your time?
Yes, the change to university was all before my time.
All right. Now, what other positions have you held besides being a professor, like on committees and things like that?
Well, I've gone through a lot of different APSCUF committees. I was pretty enthusiastic about that when I was younger and had more energy. And I've been on the tenure and sabbatical committee, to serve a lot of times on curriculum committees, I can't even remember. I've done a bunch of them. My committee work to me tends to be the most forgettable part of the 30 years. So, Liberal Studies Committee for a while. I think the Faculty Professional Development Committee. And so various committees for helping to create material for the something we used to have that was a Victorian Christmas dinner. It was a fundraiser we used to do, and I've helped create a couple conferences and things like that. I've been on those committees, so I've done a lot of that sort of stuff. But
okay,
as you said, it kind of fades away. It's the teaching and directing that I remember the most. And,
mm-hmm. In the past 30 years, has the department sort of changed around you, and if so, how?
Oh my God, it's changed so much. When I first got here, I mean, it was a very interesting program when I first got here. There were a lot of the professors who were here had been here for a long time, and it was pretty much a department of people who were all getting ready to retire. So things changed over really quickly. It was a very small major at the time, for whatever reason, just sort of cultural trends at the time. It was only 12 majors, I think, when I started here. And it was, of course, a Bachelor of Arts degree, which it was for most of the time that I've spent here. But it started to change a little bit when I got here, and then We had a new scene and lighting person who came in, Paul Jennings and Rebecca Maurice, who's now our chair. She came in as the costume designer, and we started to get a bunch of younger faculty, and that kind of changed everything. The department started to grow at least modestly. You know, we started to get up to the area of 20 or 30 majors, and then you know, we added Gordon Fettaplace, who replaced Paul Jennings. He came in and brought his own kind of strengths to the department. We continued to grow. We held steady at somewhere around 40 majors for a long time. And then, in recent years, it's changed just exponentially. It's just unbelievable how much it's changed now, because we started a BFA program with a lot of our work in the BFA, not all of it, but a lot of the emphasis being on musical theater. And so suddenly it's become a completely different program. Suddenly we've added voice teachers to our faculty. We have all these courses in musical theater and dance for musical theater. We're doing two musicals a year, which where we were doing something like maybe one musical every other year when it was a BA. And changing from a BA to a BFA is just so completely different. I mean, we were really a program where you were doing it as a liberal arts degree, and even though a lot of our majors went on to grad school or went on to pursue professional careers in theater, a lot of them didn't, and they were fine with that. They didn't necessarily think that's what they were going to do. They just wanted a BA, and this seemed like a cool way to get it. And even though, as I say, I don't think there are many people who regretted getting it. They had a great time with our BA. I think that it was very different. Now it's a pre-professional degree. Now it's assumed that at the end of this, you're going to go out and find work as a professional performer. That's just assumed that's what you're going to do. Again, not everybody will do that in the BFA. Some people will decide on a different career path, but it's assumed for most people that's what you're going to do. And that, it's really just different. It used to be that we got our majors, they would come in they didn't even know about our theater department. They would come in as communications majors or as undecided majors, you know, exploratory, we call them now. And they would take an acting class and say, hey, this is cool. Or they'd audition for a show and get in and say, oh, this is great. And that's how we got our majors. We mostly recruited from campus. And once we started this BFA, now it's everybody's fighting to get in here. It's like we get, most of our majors are from out of state. We have all these people from Texas and Florida and California that go here that come specifically to get the training that's here. And so it's really different. I mean, I always loved the quality of students here. I always thought that throughout the years, I've always found Slippery Rock students to be just kind of humble and intellectually curious and just really good people. And interestingly, that hasn't changed at all with the BFAs and the people coming from everywhere now. They're the same humble, curious, fun, good people that they always were. So that's but the program has changed radically.
How many theater majors do you think you have now?
Oh, and I should know the answer to this right off the top of my head, but I think total, including, so all the BFAs, plus all, we still have a BA in acting and theater design and design and theater technology, rather, in theater arts management, and something called just theater studies, which is a more general degree meant to go with another major. So counting all those people together, I guess we're probably around 80 majors now, and I think we'll be more than that next year. We'll have a big BFA class coming in. You know, we started a little small with our BFA classes because, again, nobody knew about us. Now we're getting as many people auditioning for us as audition for Penn State, you know, and big established programs.
All right. And in your time here, what buildings have you worked in?
So, started with Miller Auditorium, and it was, you know, just in the original incarnation of Miller Auditorium, which is much smaller than it is now, and that was actually, for most of the time I've been here, we were in Miller Auditorium. And then we got moved out of Miller Auditorium, supposedly for 2 years while they redid it. And then a bunch of stuff happened that I don't need to go into, but we ended up getting, we held up, we ended up for 9 years being over in the old University Union doing our productions in a multi-purpose room, which, as everybody knows, means a room that's equally useless to everyone. And we so we did that for a long time, and then finally we've been here now for this is our third year in the space. And so actually, really, it's really our second year. Wait, is it? I guess it's our second year in the space. Yeah, it's hard to keep track with COVID, and that was a year where we didn't have any space.
Was it fall of 2021?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So that was when we came in here.
Okay. And what were your first impressions of the university when you arrived?
I really liked it immediately, and I'm just trying to think about why. They were very positive impressions. I think I really liked my colleagues, not just in the department, but that I'd meet in campus committees from all over the place. It seemed like a very collegial place. I think that everybody, it was just a friendly, welcoming place to work. And I was so amazed that, wow, I'm a college professor, and I was just sort of walking around blown away by that all the time. So it just felt great to be here. So it was very positive.
Okay, and what changes have you witnessed in terms of like the makeup of the university, like the buildings, the faculty, majors, things like that?
Well, I see a change in terms of the physical environment, it's much better now. Let's be frank. I mean, a lot of the architecture on the campus used to be really ugly. And we had the half of campus, the old half, which was beautiful, and then we had the new half, which was really primarily just a bunch of like Soviet era cubicles that just you know, these brick squares that were just really eyesores, I thought. And some of them still are from the outside. You know, we've still got spots on Eisenberg, but even spots on Eisenberg, they now look beautiful on the inside. They were pretty ugly on the inside back then too, and now they look really great, on the inside at least. And they've added all these really beautiful buildings and refurbished some of the ones and knocked down those stupid tower dorms we had and put up those beautiful dorms that we have now. So. I think Bob Smith as president really, you know, affected a lot of those changes, and I think they're great ones. So the physical plant is much more impressive than it was when I got here. The faculty, I think, are pretty similar. Students are very different in some ways, even though I said they're humble and good and like what they still are. In many ways, I mean, it's because culture is very different. Just the culture is very different. So students are different in that I think students are... They started out really kind of conservative when I first got there in their tastes and what they were willing to see on stage. And it mostly came from a more sort of, I don't want to call it right wing, but it came from that more sort of conservative side of things, that they were easily shocked by things. But that actually changed during the 90s and the 2000s, where people, I felt like students got very, very open to anything. And then now maybe we're getting a little bit more conservative again from another side of things, you know. We have to worry more about what we do on stage and how it's perceived. And that's partly just because students are more likely to think, oh, if this feels like it embodies a perspective that is offensive in some way, we've got to really think about that, you know, now in a way that we kind of didn't 10 years ago. So that's really changed. Another thing is that, you know, I said our program's gone to a BFA and it's a pre-professional degree. It feels like, in general, this is a cultural shift throughout the country. Liberal arts education is something that is really starting to fade away. Everybody's starting to think of college as being a vocational school, as a vocational training. I am training for a specific job. I'm not training to become I'm more of a critical thinker and somebody who understands a lot more about how the world works and you know, by reading literature and studying history. And they're not about becoming a more complete person as much. It's more, what can I do directly with this degree when I get out? And I think administrations are responding to that. So the school, it still has a very strong liberal arts component, but it is much more of a vocational school than it was, than it's ever been. And so I think that's changed a lot.
Okay, but do you say these are like better, for better or for worse, these changes?
Oh, that's a tough one, because I loved working in a liberal arts department when it was a BA. There are some things that I think are really advantageous. There are some things I miss about that. And yet, the idea of really being accountable for what the students are able to do with the training they get here when they get out has been exciting too. I was a little resistant to the overall change in the culture. In some ways I still am, but in the theater department I actually really like it too. I love it just as much as I loved it being a liberal arts department. I just love it in a different way. And as I say, it forced me, I went back to and got all kinds of additional training when I knew this BFA was coming, because I said, there are just skills that I need to beef up if I'm going to be part of making sure these students can, you know, become a one-person corporation when they get out and start selling themselves. And that was really good for me, and it's been very exciting. So I guess I can't say whether it's positive or negative. It just feels, I guess it's positive in a different way.
All right. And what kinds of activities have you been involved in on campus?
Oh, activities, like outside of the theater?
Maybe like including directing and things like
that. Oh yeah, okay. So directing has been the big one. So mm-hmm. I've directed Hand to God. The last show I did was my 51st production at Slippery Rock. So I've directed a lot here. That has been a major activity I've been involved in outside of classes. In terms of other things, I was advisor to the radio station for a little while, but I was just very involved with them in a very peripheral way, because I didn't have much experience with that kind of thing. I've been involved with the dance department, you know, doing collaborations a lot, because my wife teaches in the dance department. She's chairing the dance department this semester, and did on an interim basis, and used to for many years. So we collaborated on all this stuff, I guess that would probably be mostly what I've done for activities, although I'm pretty active on campus, like physically doing a lot of hiking stuff on the hiking trails and doing that kind of stuff. But
Nice. All right, and what would you consider your accomplishments at Slippery Rock?
In terms of lasting accomplishments, I do think that there are generations of students who tell me that I had a major effect on how they went through their lives after getting out of here. That some of them, that they felt like they learned to trust their imaginations here, and to really use their imaginations, and to believe in their own artistry. And I feel like there are generations of students who have told me that that's the effect they've had, that they're still using things that they discovered in a production with me or a class with me. And especially on the after news of my retirement came out on social media, a lot of people were writing me to tell me that. And so that, I guess, feels maybe like the biggest accomplishment. I think for a long time I helped establish a reputation for the department as being quite daring. And I don't mean just in terms of how much swearing or sex and violence was on the stage, although that's probably part of it, but also just conceptually daring. Wow, I can't believe they were willing to go there with this Shakespeare play and try something so radical. And so I think I helped establish a reputation as a very daring and kind of radical place artistically, for us here. And so I guess that would be a big accomplishment too.
All right, and what would you consider your best and worst teaching moments?
Best and worst teaching moments. Oh, geez, you know what? I don't think I could narrow either one of those down to a single. Oh, maybe. Maybe for the worst. I'll say that one first. I got very used to having theater majors in my class, and I taught a class playwriting, and it was always a mix of English majors and other majors and theater majors, but it was usually predominantly theater majors. And so sometimes I would get up and have people do a theater exercise as a way of stimulating something for writing. And this one class I had where I had no theater majors in it, I believe, and it was, I had this great idea of how we were going to prepare for this one writing assignment. And this one, I hardly even had English majors in it. It was like philosophy majors and history majors. And I got everybody up thinking this theater exercise would be the greatest thing. And people just stood there. And I was trying to get them to do this movement thing, and nobody had any idea what I was talking about. They were just completely baffled. And I realized, oh my God, this is just a complete fail. This is not working at all. I completely read the room wrong. And so I just had this absolutely embarrassing moment where we're just standing there and said, okay, forget that. Everybody sit down. Let's just write. And so that was probably my worst moment. As far as a single best, no, I don't know. There have just been so many of these moments where I realize, oh my God, the students are really understanding what we're doing here, and it's making a big difference. It's changing them. I would say my two favorite classes that I've taught here, one of them I'm teaching now, I'm getting to teach in my last semester, which is wonderful, which is Movement for the Actor. And my other favorite class was playwriting. You know, irrespective of that one horrible moment, some of the best moments I've had were teaching playwriting, when you just see with a light bulb going on in this writing, off on this writing exercise, and that is something that happens kind of pretty much on a daily basis in Movement for the Actor. So it's just those moments and those two classes that have been pretty electric. Those are my best.
All right. And who were the leaders, like the administration leaders and the faculty leaders, when you came here, like the people who had been here for a long time?
The chair of the department when I got here was Ken Harris, and really a great guy, a very good chair, good director. And he just knew everything about this place, and so he was a mentor, and I absolutely depended on him. He retired in 2000, I think, and then went on to become mayor of Slippery Rock for a while, and he's still living in Slippery Rock. And so he was the big leader when I first got here.
All right. Any others, like in the faculty, like the president, the deans, things like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like, we've got a dean right now, Dan Bauer, who's more of an advocate for the faculty than we've ever had as a dean. Very, very active and very energetic, and so he's a great leader in that regard. Some of the great leaders I could think of over the years, I really loved the president when we first got here. President Abrasol was just the greatest guy and very supportive of the arts, and Bob Smith was an amazing leader, was a couple of presidents after Saul, and he transformed the physical thing, helped drive through. This used to be a dry town, you know, where you couldn't get a drink, and he changed that, and that honestly made this a much more attractive place for students to come. And so anyway, he really, I've seen a lot of leadership from the administration. Currently, I would say two. We have an incredible chair, Rebecca Maurice. She is just She is just the ideal chair. I think she is a great leader. Erin Galligan Sturl, who is in the office next door here, who's head of the musical theater program, has been just an amazing leader of that program. He's the reason that we have like 800 people auditioning to get into this program every year now. So he's been just transformational in the place. So.
All right, and other people who influenced you were significant in your time here, and why?
In my time here? I've listed most of them, but I would definitely say my wife. I mean, definitely. I mean, not just, you know, she impresses me in so many different ways, but I think that watching how she works as a chair and as a teacher, and I feel like I just... it's so great to be married to kind of a mentor. I mean, she had already been doing it for 5 years when I started here, so she's in her 35th year. And so, oh my God, she's been just an invaluable resource, and I've learned so much from her, and I continue to. I think she's just, I mean, I think they're gonna miss me when I go. I don't know what they're gonna do without her.
And major events or activities that happened while you were here, like related to the department or just on campus in general?
Oh, major events that happened here. Well, I mean, 9/11 happened, of course, and I've just gotten out of a chairs meeting with the dean, and I remember that and how, and you know, walking down into the student union at the time, the old one, and seeing something on TV with flames coming, smoke coming out of the Twin Towers, and just everybody going into shock, and slowly just the crowds gathering around this TV set growing and growing, and how shell-shocked the university was, but how we came together to deal with it. Of course, the pandemic would be the huge, huge thing, and how well the university and the department dealt with that. The strike of 2016, when faculty went on strike. That was an amazing thing too. It was really unfortunate how split the administration and the faculty became during that time, and I was saddened by that. And I think there was a tragic lack of communication between those two sides. And I don't know exactly how that happened, but I think that how APSCUF, how the union came together, how everybody rallied, and how we became just an unstoppable force during that strike, as terrifying as it was. I remember I was terrified every day of that 3-day strike, every moment of it. It was one of the scariest things, although that fear turned into adrenaline, and I was pretty crazy active during that strike. But most everybody, and the way the students rallied around us and would bring us food and bring like therapy dogs in for us to spend while we were out on the picket lines, was beautiful. And as I would never ever want to go through that experience again, but I will never forget it either. And so much about it was just was really beautiful.
So you were out there picketing for 3 full days.
Yeah, 3 full days, and it was our campus at APSCUF chapter was so organized, and they just had us all out in particular stations, and we had shifts, and we made these great signs, and for the most part, students were really behind us. There were a few who were not, but for the most part, everybody really rallied behind us, I don't want to go into, you know, get into the weeds too much talking about the details of the strike, but generally I think the perception among the administration was the faculty were getting really greedy and asking for a bunch of stuff, and that's why we were striking. Faculty perception was that that PASCHE, our state system at a state level, was trying to get us to strike. They thought that if we went on strike, that nobody would be behind us, and that it would break the union, and that we were being pushed to strike. And so we did. And it was, from our perspective, really all we were trying to do was keep the union together. And I know I said the administration had a different perspective on it, but it was, Yeah, we were out there for 3 days fighting for that. And at the end of 3 days, we ended up taking a contract where we made a bunch of significant concessions. But at the end of it, the union was still very strong and together, and that's what we wanted all along.
All right. Any other memorable events or memories related to this place that you'd like to share?
It's funny. I was just asked this too about doing the podcast for the university. They asked me to do a podcast about my years here, and so I was talking about different. They asked me that question, and there was one thing I didn't think of that. It's not exactly a memorable event. It's sort of a memorable moment that I think of sometimes when I think of working here. Is that I was directing a show. And we had to do a sound cue that was a lot of this play revolved around an event that happened in this character's life previously, where he had discovered his mother dead in the basement, that she'd been beaten to death and she was bleeding, and he made a 911 call, and the 911 call became so famous that a rapper sampled it and made this rap song out of it. And so it was this crazy play, and we had to record the 911 call. We decided we'll set it up with full makeup. We had the bleeding mom with full, you know, gash in her head and bleeding on the floor of the sound booth where we were working on this. And we were getting ready, and the guy was getting ready to do it. We had a person with a microphone. And suddenly it just struck me, this is what I get to do for a living. And I started laughing hysterically. I just completely broke down into hysterical laughter because I realized in this moment of doing this ridiculous thing we were doing, you know, it wasn't a film where nobody was going to see this mom and this thing, but we decided to do it with full makeup just to make it more realistic for the actor. And something in that moment made me, it still stands out to me because I just realized it was so joyous, and I realized, my God, I'm so lucky that I get to, this is what I get to do for a living. And so that sometimes when I think about my time here, that's the moment that I think about first.
All right. What are you going to miss about the university?
Oh, it's totally going to be working with the students. I mean, and my colleagues as well. I mean, I'm going to miss them so much because I think this is a department where everybody's really close and we become friends and not just colleagues or friends. And so I'm going to miss them, definitely. But it's moments with the students. Somebody else had asked me, you know, well, what do you like about teaching college? And I'm saying, I sort of feel like every teacher has the kind of age group they should be working with. Some people, it's got to be kindergartners. That's the perfect age for them to be working with. For me, it's this age. It's like 18 to 22-year-old age. Because for me, I think of college as being where you find out who you are, the place where you really figure out who you are. And I'm going to miss being around for that. I really am. That's been just a joy for me, is getting to watch people as they go through that process of discovering who they are as people. So all right. That's it.
Any words of wisdom to share for like current people at the Rock or future people?
Oh, take advantage of every moment. People don't realize how nostalgic they're going to be about college later. they're too focused on the things that are hard about it. And yeah, maybe that's inevitable. But I would definitely say to try to work as much as you can on treasuring the moments while you're in them. In that whole thing I was just talking about, but in that process of figuring out who you are. For students coming in, I would say try to say at every rehearsal, I'm going to leave this rehearsal knowing more than I did going in. I'm going to leave this rehearsal a better actor than I did coming in. I'm going to leave this class better at what I'm doing here than I was when I came in. Always try to go in with that mindset. Even if it's a bad class and you don't feel like your instructor is giving you much that day, if you go in with that mindset enough, you're going to take away something from something in that class that's going to make you a little bit better if you're looking for that every time.
All right, that's all I have for questions. Thank you very much.
Sure.